Hey, everyone. I'm Dale Kulis, and it's time for your Wednesday edition of the Berkshire Hathaway podcast. Today in the studio, we have on realty expert Caitlin Soley, and she'll be talking with us today right after this.
Life, with its many stages. From the my little one has just arrived stage, to the I have arrived stage. From the first home you'll ever buy to the one home you'll have forever. No matter where you find yourself in life, your forever agent will be there. Berkshire Hathaway Home Services. For you, for life. Life.
All right. Welcome back. We are here today joined by realty expert Caitlin Soley. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. I bet you're still celebrating Max Verstappen's third straight F1 World Championship win a few days after the fact, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Gosh. And to win it in a sprint race, too, of all things, too. So, yeah, quite the run he's been on these last few years.
He really has. I know this last race, too, with Hamilton. There is just, I like when there's interesting things that happen. And I know he crash into his teammate George, or
yeah, it's been a little crazy with the Red Bulls these last few weeks.
It has
Perez
been.
Has been
yeah.
a little bit more feisty out there, yeah. And yeah, it's a whole nother world, but good times.
I know. I do enjoy F1 a lot though, so.
I know you enjoy it just as much as you enjoy selling homes, which I understand you have a great, today will be the first part of a two-part How to Buy a Home series.
Yes, and the reason that I kind of wanted to jump on and talk about the guide for buyers on how to buy a home is because I know we were hearing a lot about selling a lot and all that kind of stuff this summer. And I know going into the winter, we're cooped up in our homes a lot more or apartments, wherever you are. And a lot of people might be thinking about making a move and buying a home. So I thought we could kind of go into the step-by-step process on what to expect. A lot of times people will reach out to me just inquiring about buying a house and they really don't know what the first step is. So this would be a great episode for anyone who's kind of thinking about it.
Nice tutorial for people completely unaware.
Yes, exactly. And a lot of people will reach out to me and they'll either text me or call me or email me, and they'll actually send me a link of a home that they want to go look at. And they're super excited and they're like, hey, Caitlin, can we go look at this? And it could be someone that maybe I'm friends with or someone I have no idea who they are. And we kind of have to take a couple steps back before we go and look at homes, because there's a few things that you want to do beforehand. So we'll kind of just jump into them right now. The first one is, so when these people are reaching out to me, I will ask them hey, that's awesome that you want to buy your first home. I'd love to help you. Are you pre-approved? And sometimes I think this can come off if a realtor asks you that as something negative, oh, they don't trust me that I'm able to buy a home, that kind of stuff. But the reason that we're asking this is because we are opening doors to people's private spaces, and we want to make sure that you're ready and able to purchase it for the seller's sake. It's also a safety thing too for realtors, because again, we're meeting strangers all the time and we just want to make sure that you're approved and you're ready to buy a home. So,
well, it's kind of almost like a great analogy would be, for people doing the background checks for people buying,
exactly.
Car loans or gun shows, background checks, stuff of that nature too.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. So that's kind of the first thing. But step one is to call your realtor. This can be kind of controversial. Some people will come in already pre-approved with a lender. Some people come in not having anything and they ask a realtor first. And the reason that we say to get in contact with a trustworthy realtor first is because we have all the tools in our pocket. We know all the local lenders in town, and we can set you up with someone to work with to get that pre-approval as the second step. So I highly recommend getting in contact with a realtor first. If you've already been pre-approved, that's great. You're good with step two then. But then finding that realtor, absolutely. And some things to consider when you're looking for a realtor is to make sure that they're full-time. And this is just because there are a lot of part-time agents out there. But since they're part-time, they're not going to be available for you 24/7 as a full-time realtor would be. So something to consider there.
I just know always from just talking from you and John and Adam that the realty experts at Berkshire Hathaway, you guys always make yourself available almost anytime, anywhere.
We are. And so I used to teach, actually. I was a full-time teacher, and I made the switch into real estate. And a lot of people ask me, like, oh, are you going to still continue to teach and just do real estate in the summertime? And I was like, no, I need to be available 24/7 for all my clients. I want to make sure I'm up to date with the market year-round, not just in the summertime.
All in.
I wanted to be all in, exactly. So finding that realtor who is all in and ready and available for you whenever you need them is really, you're going to benefit off of that, especially when we get into those competitive markets and the homes are flying off the shelves, basically. If you have to wait until Saturday to go look at a house and it's only Monday, chances are the house won't be there when you're going to go look at it. So the next one to consider is, let's say you have five realtors lined up that you know, and you're choosing which one you want to work with. Check out their reviews. If they have Google, they should have a Google page. If not, that might be a red flag too. Maybe they're not quite up to technology, that kind of stuff, but check out their reviews, see what other people have said about them. And then also you can ask friends or family, neighbors who have used a realtor, who they would recommend as well, and kind of do like a referral type aspect of it to figure out what realtor you want to work with.
Sounds like the vetting process is imperative.
Yes, exactly. I know when you go onto like Zillow and realtor.com and those websites, if you click on the links that say like, click here to schedule your appointment, it will automatically send you to like three different realtors randomly, and they're all going to start calling you. And you don't know anything about these realtors. Chances are they're actually paying to be on these websites. So you want someone who you can connect with and, again, is trustworthy, all that stuff. Well, so
it's just like thinking of, you know, buying something off eBay. You always like to look at the seller feedback, just
exactly.
As, you know, just making sure you're buying from a well vetted seller.
Exactly. Yep. It'll save you time in the long run, because then you won't have to fire them and move on to a different agent.
Absolutely.
But okay, so the next step is getting that pre-approval and talking with a lender. Again, some people do this as their first step. Some people do this as their second step. Realtors have very good connections with local lenders in the community. So I, again, would recommend talking to a realtor first and then let them help you get in contact with a lender. When you are going to get pre-approved, I know we hear a lot about interest rates. However, interest rates are not the only thing you should consider. The government determines interest rates, not the lenders. So we say pretty much every lender has the same interest rate day to day. But what is different is lenders can offer different programs to help lower those interest rates based off of how they qualify a buyer. So that's why we say, you know, we'll get you in contact with a couple different lenders, check out their fees, what they can offer you, and from there you can kind of narrow it down and decide who you want to work with.
Now, would that be like kind of like the small print kind of more or less, like, you know, this person may there may be a yearly fee on this or like a certain criteria for depending on the different type of houses you're looking at?
Yep, exactly. And there's different lenders in town, different banks that will offer, like, some of them will offer things to doctors or self-employed people or like a 2-1 buy down for interest rates. There's so many different things. Some of them don't have origination fees, which will help lower your closing costs. Some banks do have those. So every bank is different. The interest rates pretty much across the board are going to be determined by the government. Those stay the same. But what you can do with those interest rates will be different bank to bank. So just making sure that you're checking in with a couple different lenders and, you know, figuring out which one is going to work best for you. The one thing to consider as a buyer is you are going to need to know what your down payment is going to be and what your closing costs are going to be. And that's what your lender will help you figure out. They'll help you figure out what loan type to use. Maybe you're going to do a cash offer and you don't need to talk to a lender. But yeah, so that's that step. Why pre-approvals are important, I will touch on this really quickly too, because some people are like, oh, let's just go look at houses and I'll get a like pre-approved later on. I just want to start looking. These are really important because when we submit an offer, we need that pre-approval. It gives the buyer more power. Without that pre-approval, your offer has lower chances of getting accepted.
And it just helps them fast track them on that whole process so much more going into the things when starting off.
Exactly, because if you're going in looking at homes and you don't know your budget, like, you might fall in love with a home and then be really sad when you find out you cannot afford it. So it just saves us time in the long run. And it's just, yeah, definitely get pre-approved. So.
And it sounds like, I think I've always asked kind of similar questions for you and Adam and John before, but if people have nowhere to go to look for pre-approval and all that, they can always ask you to point them in the right direction.
Yep, and that's what we do. We always have our list of lenders in Grand Forks, East Grand Forks, wherever you're looking, and we can actually give you their number and say, hey, reach out to them, or we can help set up that meeting. Whatever you need us to do, we have the tools in our pocket to get you set up with some lenders. So, okay, the next step is some rules you should know. And these are just across the board. These are like standards. And it's some things that some realtors won't tell you, but it's good to know. So the first one is don't call owners of homes for sale. And this might be obvious for some people, but for some people it might not be. But you want to have your realtor call these sellers of homes that are for sale, because you don't want to lose your buying power. When you get a phone call and let's just say I'm a seller and I get a phone call from a buyer, I might tell them different information than I would if a realtor were to have called me, because there's a different level of professionalism. And these homeowners, you don't want to lose your buying power by accidentally spilling something like your bottom line or what you can afford, or, you know, stuff like that. So no matter what, if you are a buyer looking to buy a home, have your realtor call the seller of the home you're interested in. Do not call them yourself.
I know the impression I've gotten from past Berkshire Hathaway podcasts too, is that the realtor is kind of like the neutral negotiator.
Yes. Yep. Exactly. We know what to say, what not to say. We know how to say things. We don't want you doing that. That's our job. So the next one I have on here is if you're browsing online, I know I kind of already said this, but on ZillowRealtor.com, there's going to be that schedule now for a showing tab or whatever it is. Don't click that if you're already working with a realtor, because again, it will send you to all these other realtors and then you're going to get bombarded with phone calls or texts. Just send the link of a house you're interested in to your realtor and we can set that showing up for you. Same thing goes for like for sale by owners or other homes, like when you're driving by the for sale signs that you see on the street. Don't call that number because it'll call a different realtor. Just always call your own realtor. Okay.
Snap a photo, give Berkshire or Realty Experts a call, be like, hey, I got some prospects.
Exactly. Yep. The next one is we want to know when we're looking at homes, what houses you like and don't like. It's not our home, so we're not going to get our feelings hurt. You can be honest with us if there's things you didn't like in the home. If not, but be mindful of what you are saying during those showings, because a lot of people now have cameras, nanny cams, ring doorbells. And there's a good chance that they might be listening to what you're saying during that showing, and you don't want to offend them and then write an offer and they don't accept it because they're like, oh, that's the person that didn't like our carpet. So just be mindful of what you're saying during showings.
That's a great thing to point out with so many, just so much technology nowadays with like exactly like you said, with the smart cams on the doorbell or just like people's phones or security cameras almost everything picks up audio nowadays.
Exactly. And usually it's posted or like the listing agent will tell us if there's cameras of some sort, security cameras, so we can let our buyers know beforehand, like, hey, let's just discuss everything afterwards, just so that we avoid that, because that would be so sad if someone didn't get an offer accepted because they were thinking about, you know, changing something and it offended the sellers or something like that. So, all right, going on to step four. So once you find a realtor and you're pre-approved, you're pretty much ready to start home shopping. And this is probably like the most excited part for all buyers. And again, I'm just going to reiterate it. Ask your agent to schedule the showing. Don't go asking the owners or anything like that.
Don't jump the gun.
Exactly. We'll help you schedule that showing. A good agent, when you're looking at homes, will point out red flags to you on things that they have seen in the past that come up maybe during like home inspections, or, you know, foundations cracking, things like that. Especially with first-time home buyers, I like to walk through and point out red flags, not to scare them, but just say like, hey, this might be something that we want to get inspected with a home inspector type of thing. Also, depending on the different type of financing, there's some things that might have to be repaired before the loan can go through. So I'll just point some things out and say, it's no big deal. This is just something that we're going to have to probably address.
Now, when you've worked with first-time home buyers before, is it like a cracked foundation? Or is that one of the most common things you like to point out, or something, or just maybe some random examples for you with first-time home buyers?
Yeah. So cracked foundation, that would be something that's really big that might alter if that's going to be the house they're going to get or not. Just because it's really hard to fix a broken foundation. The good thing is I really don't have much issues running into foundation issues, so that's good. But some other things would be like if it's a first-time home buyer and we're looking at the property disclosure beforehand or at the showing, I might notify them if like the roof is really old, furnace, AC, some of those more costly repairs compared to like maybe in the next house we're looking at that has a brand new roof, AC, furnace, just some things to help them save money in the near future.
Wow, that's a lot of ground to cover. Any other ones before we wrap up part one for the day?
I think that'll be good there, because then on Friday, I'll talk about after we found the house when we're ready to like write the offer and all that stuff. So
nice little taste for what to come in part two for Caitlin Soli's guide on how to buy a home. I know before we wrap up, I know you said there's some upcoming Halloween events going on at Berkshire Hathaway.
Yes. So later this week, we're going to have a whole bunch of pumpkins in front of our office. So that'll be fun. You can come on out and get a pumpkin. If you've ever bought or sold a home with one of your agents, let us know and we can come out and take a picture with you. We love that. And then on Halloween, we will be doing our trunk or treat in our office parking lot as well. And that'll be 3:30 to 5 or 5:30, I believe, on Halloween. So
I know on GFBS, we were there doing some live coverage last year. It was a great time. So many great things going on. Caitlin Soli, what's the best way for people to reach out and contact you?
The best way is by phone. I always have it on me. My number is 320-267-6692, and you can call or text me anytime.
Well, there you go. That concludes your Wednesday edition of the Berkshire Hathaway podcast. Many thanks again to Caitlin Soli for joining us today. Many thanks to producer Paul. We'll be back on Friday with part two of Caitlin Soli's guide on how to buy a home. Until then, stay safe out there, and we will see you on Friday.